Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor of Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. You're about to hear a message from the series called Chasing the Wind, a view of life from Ecclesiastes. Meaning, purpose, and satisfaction in life are as elusive as chasing after the wind. The Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes brutally reminds us that life is tough. We make it even tougher because we choose the wrong ways to make sense of it all. Get ready to take an honest look at life under the sun and discover some amazing ways to find satisfaction, rest, joy, and meaning. And if you'd like to join us for services or learn more about us, check us out at pccwired.org. We are finishing our series on the book of Ecclesiastes. We've called it Chasing the Wind from a phrase that's in the book of Ecclesiastes. We're looking at the last part of this, but first let me just tell you what's coming up in the next couple weeks. Next weekend is Mother's Day weekend. We're going to celebrate and honor all women next weekend. And then after that, we're doing a new series called No Compromise. We're going to spend 8 weeks studying through the book of Daniel. It'll be a great study. And if some of you have been reading a book of the Bible a month in that little program that we suggested back in January, you might want to consider Daniel for either May or June, so you can kind of go along with our study for that. But today we're finishing the series, Chasing the Wind from Ecclesiastes, and I've titled this Enough/Remix. And by remix, in the world of media and literature and music, a remix is when you take the work that's produced by somebody and you kind of put it together in a fresh way. And that's what I want to do. We've been looking at this book for 4 weeks. We've looked at key themes, and now I want to bring it together, hopefully in a fresh way, as we finish this book. The whole point that Solomon's been making through this book is that life under the sun, the life that we all live, is frustrating. It's hard to find lasting satisfaction in this life. And he describes the pursuit of satisfaction and meaning as a process of chasing the wind. When I graduated from college, I was still single, and I chose to live in hell. Okay, it wasn't hell, but it was close to it. Place called Yuma, Arizona. You know what? If on the podcast my friends in Yuma hear that, they'll not be happy. But, you know, when I lived there, I actually discovered that it was cheaper to own a home than to rent. That's not true anymore, but it was back in the old days, you know. And so I bought this fixer-upper house, and one day I decided it was time to fix the double gate that was falling down. It was a wooden gate. It was just, you know, in disrepair. So my day off was Friday. Most of my friends were at work, so I took on this task alone, but I was pretty sure I could do it. But when I woke up that morning to fix this double gate, the wind was blowing like crazy. Now, if you've ever hung a large wooden gate in the wind that's blowing by yourself, you're set up for a very frustrating day. I'm sure that I said a few words that pastors ought not say that day. I was fighting through this whole frustrating morning of trying to, you know, you want the gate to be level and square so that when it opens, it's not dragging on the ground, you know. And as I'm working on this, I run out of hardware. So, I lived pretty simply and cheaply in those days. And my mode of transportation was a dirt bike. And so I drove my dirt bike to the hardware store to get some more hardware, came back out of the hardware store, and the wind had blown my dirt bike over and smashed the turn signal. Man, I was frustrated. I get back to the house trying to finish this project, and I remember at one point just raising my hands up and going, "Wind, stop!" As if that were going to stop the wind. You know, I sort of didn't have Moses' staff, you know, that day to make it happen. And, you know, that's just a picture of what Solomon's been describing. Life is frustrating. Times it seems like there's no hope. There's just stuff that goes on all around us that's wrong. It's unjust. It's like everything that we want that's good sometimes is so elusive. It's just frustrating and futile. And where's the rest? Where's the satisfaction? And that's what Solomon has been painting in this book. And for many of us, as we read the book of Solomon, we go, "Well, this is a depressing book." But if you read carefully, what Solomon is saying, he doesn't leave us at a place of depression. He doesn't leave us at a place where there is no satisfaction. He just says the way that we typically try to find satisfaction doesn't work. And what he does is he gives us very strong statements about where satisfaction can be found. For the remix part of this message, I want us to look at a couple passages that we've already looked at as a way to remind ourselves where satisfaction is found. So take your Bibles, turn to the second chapter of Ecclesiastes. That's page 473 in the Bibles that are in front of you. Ecclesiastes, we're going to start in chapter 2, verse 24. Listen to what Solomon says. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, chasing after the wind. Solomon says that we can experience consistent satisfaction by looking to the everyday gifts that God gives us. God gives each and every one of us millions, and I want to stand behind that, not just as overstatement, millions of simple gifts that are available to us every day. He describes it as food, drink, work. God has blessed us in so many ways. Yeah, there may be things in our life that's not good, not right, that we don't like. But in the midst of all that, he has still given us the very basic, simple gifts for life. They're all around. Tonight is the sun setting. Look at the gift that God will give as that beautiful sunset. A week ago or so, I was out in my backyard doing some reading and just enjoying the morning with God. And the sprinklers came on, and this hummingbird just popped out of nowhere and started. I don't know anything about birds. I don't know if the hummingbird was trying to get a drink or taking a bath, but it was just flying around in the sprinkler, just having a ball. Just like I remember when I was a kid, you know, we had those sprinklers that go like this, you know, and we would go out and play in them because we didn't have a pool, you know. And this hummingbird was doing this, and as I watched it, I thought, oh, cool. God gives us every day incredible, simple gifts for our enjoyment. And Solomon just reminds us that satisfaction is found in looking for and enjoying those simple gifts every day. And then he says the other source of satisfaction here in verse 26 is by simply pleasing him. Not trying to please ourselves, not working for ourselves. He contrasts in that verse, you know, to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing, you know, where we work and we try to get more and we, you know, he says, lay that all aside, all that striving, and just try to please God. And that in and of itself is incredibly satisfying. And then in chapter 5, next page over, chapter 5, verse 18. Then I realized it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and find satisfaction. There it is again. Eat, drink, and your work find satisfaction in the toilsome labor under the sun during the few days God has given him. For this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on his days because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of heart. You see, what Solomon's reminding us is that satisfaction is found in being content with all of those gifts that God gives us every day. Now, hear this. Contentment never comes to us. You're not just going to sit around someday and, I'm content with everything. We choose contentment. We choose to look for the gifts that God has given us in our lot, in our life. And we enjoy those and we choose to be content with what he's given us. Whether we have little, whether we have a lot. That's what that text says. If God gives a person wealth and possessions, it's the same thing. Well, they enjoy what they have instead of always striving for more. Being content with what we have. And then he finishes by saying, you know what? There's a place where we can experience gladness in our heart, and that's from God. And he says it in this way. Don't try to keep evaluating life. In that last verse, verse 20, he says, He seldom reflects on the days of his life because of gladness in his heart, which is from God. See, too many of us spend way too much time evaluating our lives. You know, am I getting what I deserve? Is everything fair? Is this the way I want it to be? And we spend so much time evaluating the way life ought to be that we miss the contentment of how life is and the gifts that God has given us. And God wants us to be glad in our hearts with what he has provided us. And then we come to the conclusion, chapter 12. It's a 12-chapter book. We come to the final chapter, which is a profound conclusion and closing. And I want you just to hear how he finishes out this whole discussion. We're going to start in chapter 12, verse 1, and then I'm going to jump down to verse 6. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Verse 6. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well. What he's saying is so simple. Two things actually together. Remember God. Let God be your focus today. You have no control over tomorrow. You can't change yesterday. All we have is today, and in our today, may we keep our focus on God and God alone. That is the source of satisfaction. This past week, we had three memorial services, three very different people. Each memorial service was very different. But in each of those memorial services this past week, it sort of hit me that, you know, the people that lived, you know, and in the service we remembered about the date of their birth and where they were born and how old they were. And then we often talk about the cause of their death and the date of their death. But you know what? Those really aren't the most important things when we talk about that person who has passed on. It's all the things that happen between the date of birth and the date of their death. On the headstone, it's that little dash between the birth date and the date of their departing. That kind of doesn't do justice for a person, does it? You just get a dash for all those years of living. But that dash represents an incredible opportunity to live life with God as our focus, and with God as our focus, not only to experience joy and gladness and experience satisfaction and meaning in this life, but also a chance to leave a legacy to make the world different. You see, what Solomon's reminding us, before the silver cord is broken, before the golden bowl is smashed, before the wheel is broken, before our life ends, we have a chance to make a difference. Because after we die, we can't influence life on this earth the way that we can while we have our today. And so this gravestone, Mr. Mason, who I assume is not passed away yet, we have the date of his birth, but notice there's no date of his death. He still has a choice to make a difference, because he still has a today. And it's only in our todays that we can say to the people that we need to say this to, I love you. You can't do that tomorrow because you have no guarantee of tomorrow. You only have today. Today is the only day that we're guaranteed that we can say, I'm sorry. Today's the only day that we can choose to say, I forgive you. Today's the only day that we can encourage someone who needs to be encouraged. Today's the only day that we can love somebody with an action that communicates love to others. And Solomon is just saying, remember him. Remember him while it is still today, because you don't know what tomorrow has. And if we would do that in our every today, we would experience what satisfaction and meaning is all about. Now go to verse 13, and this is kind of the verse that summarizes the chapter of summary, that summarizes the whole book. Notice how he finishes here in chapter 13, in verse 13 in Ecclesiastes. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. The problem with this is, for many of us, is that we either misunderstood or that phrase fear of God has been misused, and we're not really sure what does that mean to fear God. What does that phrase really mean? Many of us have heard it in a negative way, that, and unfortunately religion has been good at this. Churches have done this for centuries where they've used the idea of the fear of God, that God is a God who is angry at you, that he wants to punish you, that he's unhappy, that he's mad, that because you haven't lived up to everything God has wanted, you're guilty. You owe God and the church something, and so that fear of God has been used to manipulate us. Many of us have felt that and experienced that. That's not what Solomon's talking about when he refers to the fear of God. Here's what the fear of God is. Fear, in this sense, is a deep respect, a deep reverence for God, or even in the human realm, it's the same. It's a deep respect for someone. You know, if I fear somebody, a human being, hopefully it's not because they're going to hurt me, but because I have such a deep respect for them that I really want to be careful in how I act and how I respond to them, how well I listen to them. The same is true with God. We're encouraged to fear God in the sense of have an incredible deep respect for him. You see, if we fear God in the right sense of that word, then we can't ignore him. We can't escape him. We can't forget him. In fact, I think one of the greatest sins that we commit aren't the sins that we often talk about in the church. It's the sin of forgetting God. In fact, many of us live our lives as if we're practical atheists. Of course we believe in God, but every day sometimes we act as if we've forgotten who God is. We've forgotten to remember him. And so the conclusion of the matter is fear God. Put such deep respect on him. Remember him. Fearing him as our creator and as our Lord. As our creator, he's given us life. He's given us all of those daily blessings. Notice this, though. God didn't stop creating. He created all this. Absolutely. Past tense. But God is still a God of creation. God is creating new things for us every day. That's how awesome he is. That sunset you're going to look at tonight is new and fresh and unique and will never be duplicated again. When that hummingbird comes and takes a shower in your sprinklers, that's fresh and new and it'll never happen that way again. God is continually creating. And we fear a God not because we're afraid of him, but because he's this incredible creator that gives us gifts every day of our life. He's the Lord of our lives. That means he's the owner of our lives. He owns us. We're the store. He's the owner. So it matters how we treat the store. It matters how we treat the business, how we operate the business for the owner. We respect the owner of our lives every day. And because of that fear, we trust him. And it's only because we trust him that we're willing to do life God's way. If we don't fear God, we're not going to obey his commandments. We're not going to do life his way because we think we can figure it out a different way. But fear drives us to him. Fear is the sense that God is awesome. He loves to surprise us with these daily gifts. He loves to do great things that we're not even expecting. And we look for his surprises in everyday life. And so Solomon just says, you want to experience satisfaction? Fear God and obey his commands. I titled this message Enough/Remix. Why the enough? Because if you really listen to what Solomon's saying, the conclusion of the matter is this. Here's the bottom line. God is enough. Life isn't. Life will disappoint. I will guarantee you life will disappoint. Life will not supply satisfaction on a consistent basis. So what Solomon's saying is quit chasing after that. Quit chasing the wind. But find and realize and live in the reality that God is the one who's the only source of satisfaction in this life. God is enough. Would you say that with me? God is enough. One more time. God is enough. And that's the message that we've been given. It's enough. I just want to encourage you to listen to what Solomon has been saying. Take it to heart. If you've never made the decision to put God first in your life, if you've never said, you know what, God is enough. God is all I need. I want to encourage you to make that decision today. One of the ways that Jesus invites us to make that decision to put God first in our life is in baptism. If you've come to the place where you have realized now God is your source of satisfaction and you're ready to obey Him, to fear Him in the right sense of fear, and of course the best way that we experience God is through Jesus by following Him, then you're ready to be baptized. Baptism is just saying, I'm ready to follow Jesus, to follow the ways of God with all of my heart, all the days of my life, to the best of my ability. We're going to give an opportunity for baptism. Several have expressed this morning that they want to be baptized. It's an opportunity to say, God, I'm willing to put my way of doing life, life under the sun, that chasing after the wind, I'm ready to put that away. I'm tired of chasing after the wind. And I'm ready now to follow you. I'm ready for a new beginning. I'm ready to make a decision that you truly are my enough. Last week, I had the 11 o'clock service. At the end, we had three baptisms. And after I came out of the baptistry, the service was dismissed. A few people were hanging around. And I walked out of the baptistry, and here was a man named Bill. And, oops, too far. Let's go back. Come on, Bill. There you are. Bill comes up in the back, and you'll see there in the picture, he's got his tie. He's got a very nice shirt on, really nice slacks. And he says, I want to be baptized right now. I said, great. Briefly tells me a story. You know, life's been kind of a weird mixture. He's been incredibly blessed in his business, and yet he's also realized through some health issues that life can be really short. And he said, I want to be baptized right now. I said, great. Why don't you change your clothes over there? And he goes, no, right now. Well, I'm looking at his clothes. I said, well, don't you want to take your tie off? Nope. Take your shoes off. So he said, all right, I'll take my shoes off. He gets in the baptistry with all his street clothes on. We baptize him. He comes out. And this is the picture that was captured as he came out of the baptistry. He said all through the service, God had been urging him to come, to make the decision to put God first. And he didn't want to wait 1 second longer. When he came out of the baptistry, you see that expression. He said, man, the burdens have been lifted. I want to invite you to make that decision. If you are ready to make the decision to follow Jesus in baptism, we're ready right now. We've got some folks that will be over here at the Connection Cafe. Come right now so that we can get ready and do this at the end of the service. Those of you who are prepared, come on over there. I think the McFarlands, you're going to help out, right, Ken? Are you going to help out with baptisms? Okay. And just come on over here to Connection Cafe, and we'll prepare for that. Now, I want to finish this series with three things very, very fast, but I'm not going to be able to give all this to you. There's three keys that I think that we've seen in this book about satisfaction. And I want to give you a shopping list, but I can't give you the whole shopping list of ways to live out these three things. So before I even get into it, I've got a full list of ways you can practice these things, okay, online. Go on our website, go to podcast, and you'll see there the weekend messages. A whole list is there, or there's hard copies in the back that if you don't have access to online. But I just want to give you some ideas about that. First and foremost is being grateful for the simple gifts God gives us. If we would do that consistently, we would experience satisfaction. It could be just picking a time every day where you're just grateful. Grace at meals. Saying thank you, God, for this food and the people that I get to share this food with. Making a gratitude list. Giving to God with a sense of gratitude. God, I'm so grateful for all you've given to me. I'm just giving a little bit back to you. Keeping God as our focus is the second thing. Being grateful for the daily gifts that God gives us, but keeping God as our focus, remembering Him all through our day. Lots of ways to do that. One of the ways is by the Bible book of the month, reading, just continually reading and keeping our focus on God in the Scripture. And then one of the things I want to have you consider is consider committing to something so big, so radical in your life that you know God has been urging you to consider. So big that it requires your focus on Him for it to really happen. Not something that you can manage, but something that God has to manage. And that forces us to keep our attention on Him, remembering Him. And then third, fearing God and obeying His commandments. May we be grateful for all the gifts. May we truly keep God as our focus, and may we fear Him and keep His commandments. For example, maybe you made a decision. Maybe you've been thinking about something. Maybe you need to have a conversation. I know sometimes people have to have a conversation with someone. They rehearse it over in their minds before they talk. What if you were to take your plans, your decisions, your conversations, and you kind of rehearsed them with Jesus? Wow. I respect you so much. I want to see how this plays with you, Jesus, before I actually do it. Before I buy the $70,000 car that'll keep me in debt for 15 years, I want to know what you think about that. Wow. Fear God and obey His commands. So, when it's all said and done, Solomon says, God is enough. That's it. God is enough. We don't have to chase the wind. That's it. We're done. May I encourage you to continue in the spirit of what Solomon said, experiencing satisfaction in the God who is more than enough. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your amazing, incredible goodness. Thank you for all the gifts that you give every day. Forgive us for missing so many of them. God, help us to keep our focus on you. And God, we want to respect you with such a depth that, God, you really do affect the way we live every day. And God, in that, we know we'll experience an amazing satisfaction. We love you. We're grateful. God, we honor you now in this time of communion. We honor you now in this time of giving. In Jesus' name, amen.